Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 23rd of July, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, since it is Friday, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy, fun, fantastic Friday.
Oh, thank you for only using those two words that start with F. Also with me today, believe it or not, I've Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly, and I should point out that alliteration always alleviates my allergies.
Oh, it's going to be that show. Okay, Andrew, did you not lock the door behind you this morning? All right. So
No, sorry.
We've talked about this. All right. Let's go ahead. And as per tradition, we're going to do Security Friday news, and we're going to start with this week in data breaches. Take it away, Andrew.
Right, here we go. So the team at cybernews.com, they found a SQL database that contains some sensitive health insurance data, was leaked on a popular hacker forum. They don't mention the name of the forum. It sounds like it affects 6,000 patients. So the author of the post claims that the data was acquired by insurance company Humana, and it includes medical records going back to 2019. So some of this leaked information includes patient names, IDs, email addresses, password hashes, Medicare Advantage plan listings, medical treatment data, and a lot more.
And more. That's always the nice part of those sorts of announcements, is like, we're not even going to get into the rest of it. So, yeah. Fabulous.
And according to a Humana spokesperson who reached out, they say no data was removed from their systems. Instead, they say or claim that it has been acquired via a data breach at an unaffiliated third-party application targeted at Medicare Advantage members and agents.
How unaffiliated is it if they have all of Humana's information? This is my question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. So if you are, like, relative to the number of people that I think are on Humana system, 6,000 people does not seem like a ton of people. However, if you or someone in your family, since this was through a Medicare Advantage thing, it's possible maybe you have a family member in on this. Definitely check on them and make sure that their data is secured. And at a minimum, if that thing has a password, maybe go change it. That would be awesome. So next up, we have sort of a public service announcement, I guess I would say, about a new service.
We got the bad news out of the way, and this is some good news.
Yes.
So this week, DuckDuckGo has launched an email protection service as a way to protect against email trackers that some people use. So they say you can get free personalized at duck.com address that will forward emails to your regular inbox. It says if you use an email service like Gmail or Yahoo, it's no problem. Email sent to your personal Duck address will arrive there as usual, so you can read your email like normal without these trackers.
All right. So just another way to help prevent tracking from actually tracking any of that data. So at duck.com, that's pretty slick, actually. It's a nice short email address, depending who you are. So, yeah, I'm going to go sign up for my DuckDuckGo email while you guys talk about the big, fat, massive story in the room this week. And that is something called Pegasus. So let's start with the very basics, Andrew. What is this?
Yes, I'm sure you all have seen this in the news probably every day this week.
Yeah.
So there was an investigation by Amnesty International, this nonprofit, I forget the name, based in France, I think, as well as a whole bunch of different media organizations. They call it the Pegasus Project. And what Pegasus is, it's a type of spyware from this company called NSO Group. and they've been selling it to governments. That's what this sounds like. And this Pegasus spyware has been used to target journalists, activists, government figures, and any other person of interest, I guess, like the government can considers a dissident.
Fabulous. So we've decided we don't like you, and guess what? Now we have all your data.
Well, yeah. It's being pitched though as it's being pitched as a product that's designed to catch, you know, criminals and terrorists.
Right.
And it's being used the way Andrew described it, because obviously that's what's going
to
happen.
Because if you disagree with me, it's obviously because you're a terrorist and now I should be able to. Yeah. That tends to be what happens with tools like this. Like, you know, who could possibly have foreseen that this was what was going to happen? Right. This is why we talk about these tools all the time. So.
Yeah. And the scary thing about Pegasus is that it's what is known as zero click malware, which means you can be infected without having to do anything. All you have to do is receive one of these malicious text messages, it sounds like. And then after that, it gives the attackers some remote access capabilities used to extract a lot of your data on your phone. It says, this article I'm reading from ZDNet, they say it can harvest conversations taking place over apps, including WhatsApp and Facebook, monitor email clients and browser activity, record your calls, and spy on victims through their microphone and camera.
Ooh, wonderful. And this is, again, this is one of these things that you don't have to do anything for this to work on your hardware.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing you have, like, it's not click on this attachment, it's not go to this website, it's not click okay on the thing when it says to click okay, even though you shouldn't, none of that stuff. So that's part of what makes this as scary as it is. So and I wanted to talk a little bit about go ahead.
I think it's good to point out that this has been affecting both Android and iPhone devices. Articles seem to focus on, you know, iOS and Apple isn't doing enough to, you know, protect people.
Of course.
Which may be true, but the reason I think people have been mentioning iPhone more is because the Android, they don't really collect logs in a way that is easy to detect this. Mm-hmm. It sounds like because of some type of logging activity iPhones do, like maybe analytics, you can turn that on and off. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it was just easier to detect on iPhones.
Okay. So, and that's good news, bad news, because that means like if you have it on an Android device, it's much harder to determine if you do. And that's always nice. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the evolution of this tool, because like we said, like it started out as one of those things that always sounds like a good idea to begin with. Right. Like there's bad guys in the world and we're the good guys and we want to catch the bad guys and we're going to build this tool so that we can get into their devices and we can find out all the stuff they're doing and then we can catch them before they do the bad stuff. That's basically what this was. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I haven't read a ton, but yeah.
It does sound like this has been maybe going on since 2016. So what happened was there was a leaked list of phone numbers that were accessed by Amnesty International, and it contained over 50,000 numbers believed to have been of interest to NSO group clients and selected for targeting. And they also say, for example, over 1,000 numbers whose owners were identified, at least 188 were journalists. And at least 10 heads of state were on the list.
Awesome. Can we go back to the DuckDuckGo story for a minute about how you can get email that helps you stay private? We keep talking about these and I feel a little bad. Like, we need to let people know. That's why we're here. We tell you this all the time. But at the same time, like, This is definitely the kind of thing that I hope nobody's listening to this at night, because we're just going to keep you up. That seems kind of bad.
Yeah, because, you know, most of what we talk on the show is, you know, hacking from individual hackers, or sometimes like companies, you know, data breaches, for example, you can sometimes protect against those using a password manager, et cetera. But when it's from the government, that is a whole nother level.
Yeah, that's not alarming at all. Yeah, particularly when you find out, like, it's, you know, heads of state and reporters, like, those are definitely people that have a vested interest in making sure this kind of stuff doesn't happen. So, and yet here we are. Now,
there's a cautionary tale aspect of this too that I think is important for those, kind of dovetails off of what you were saying a second ago, Kelly, but for those who believe that law enforcement should have some kind of a backdoor into an operating system, into messaging platforms, etc. We have long argued at the Mac Observer, and as have many privacy advocates and then people who actually know anything about things, that when you have these backdoors, they can be and usually are eventually used for purposes for which they were not designed or intended. Mm-hmm. And this NSO and Pegasus it's not quite the same thing, because they are a private company selling this access to, you know, governments around the world, many of which are like awful entities. So it's not quite the same as law enforcement having a backdoor. But it essentially is law enforcement having a backdoor, and here it is being used for and for uses for which it was not designed or intended.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the proof in the pudding, essentially, of the argument that Apple has been making, in particular publicly, about, you know, FBI OS and you know, government OS as it was called, with with, you know, versions of these operating systems and messaging platforms being created to give government access. I mean, it's going to be abused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is a thing that you hear from lots of people in security and things like that, is basically that, you know, if there's a key for anybody, there's a key for everybody. And so, like, do you want any sort of backdoor in it, knowing full well that that's basically just an invitation for people who maybe don't have the best intentions to also use exactly that same entry point? Like, that's always the debate when it comes to this stuff. That's usually about the point I'm unable to follow the conversation, because then it turns to technical details and I don't quite understand a lot of that stuff. But conceptually, well, more than I think that I do, but nowhere near as much as the people who actually make these sorts of decisions. But it's definitely a thing that continues to get debated. And this is exactly why, because we built a tool that the good guys can use against the bad guys. And now, shocker, the bad guys have it. It's like these people have never seen a spy movie, because this is what happens every time.
Yeah. And of course, it also kind of proves that with something like Pegasus, you don't need a backdoor. You don't need Apple or Google to install a backdoor in their operating systems, because they were able to get all this data anyway.
Yeah.
Well, NSO effectively created a backdoor. Do we know what these malicious texts look like?
I don't think I've seen anything like that.
I mean, MVT is not necessarily a straightforward and easy tool to use.
Right.
Did we explain what MVT was?
Not yet.
No.
So there is a tool called MVT Mobile Verification Toolkit, which anyone can use. That's available to download on GitHub, just in case you do wonder if maybe you were compromised by Pegasus. It involves the command line, so you'll have to, you know, I don't think there's instructions on here, so you kind of have to know what you're doing, I guess.
Yeah. But if you do not, there's an excellent chance, if you are listening to this show and paying attention to the stuff that we talk to you about, that if you are not that person, you know that person. You know them well enough to be able to have them sit down with you and help you sort this out. So, not the worst thing. But yeah, definitely slightly more complicated than the kinds of tips we generally recommend to people when people are when we come and talk to you about different sorts of things that you can do to help make sure that your data is secure, that your data is private, things you can do to help up your level of personal security. Generally, we talk about those things as here's a very, very easy thing to do. This one is slightly less easy. Don't be afraid of the command line, but tread carefully, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to back up because I guess there is some documentation. So they do tell you some type of commands to use, what to do, because it involves exploring an iTunes backup.
Okay.
So there are some instructions out there.
Oh, yeah. When you're using this, you're definitely checking a backup, not your live phone. So yeah. If you have concerns about that, you could probably put them aside, but it doesn't seem like even with the instructions, it's not necessarily a straightforward and easy process to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But definitely, like, it's good to know that it's a thing that is available. It's good to know it's out there.
Yeah.
So if this does seem like something that could be something you should consider, then MVT is a good way to make sure that you're able to go through your backups and make sure all that stuff is working like it should. This is one of those ones that, like, we could do just an entire show all about this and what it means and, you know, why does it exist. We've tried to give you sort of an overview of what it looks like, what it was for, and hopefully if you are a person who this might be an issue for, then making sure that you do have an option to mitigate it. So fingers crossed. And again, sorry if I'm keeping you up at night. I apologize. We'll do an entire Security Friday about things that we do to get to sleep at night for people who end up listening to this after dinner. We'll have to do an episode about tips to make sure you can get back to sleep in case you're listening to us talk about Humana data breaches and Pegasus. Yikes. The thing that was notable to me in this is that it's a lot harder to detect on Android devices, and so sometimes that can make it more complicated as far as do you have it and what do I need to do to get rid of it, because you may not be able to tell 100% if it's there in the first place. It's much harder to detect, and again, we could probably do a show just on that too. Brian, I know this sort of hits kind of the sweet spot of stuff that you generally want to be talking about. Part of the reason that we do shows on topics like this is because it's a thing that you have sort of a long standing stance on, I guess. Even though that makes for a weird sentence. This is sort of this is the kind of thing that, like, you know, governments are using against the bad guys, right? And you know, we've talked about, like, you know, governmental surveillance, for lack of a better term. And I know that that's a thing that you, whenever it looks like we're going to have that conversation, that's definitely a time that you end up coming over to TDO and having it with me.
Yep.
So that I think is going to do it for us today. Like I said, this is a big topic. So if you have more questions about it, definitely let us know. We will continue, as the story about this evolves, we will continue to cover it over at TDO. You can look for Andrew's insight on all of that. And I would like to thank both of you for being here. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yeah, Brian, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your hard work on this, Andrew. Much appreciated on the coverage.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. Have a great weekend. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.